All right, so let's start out with reading our scripture this morning. I'm going to read the black, you read the blue. Now may the Lord of peace himself. Thank you, all five. Okay, so let's start over because this is the word of God. Okay, all right. Now may the Lord of peace himself.
Peace always and every way.
The Lord be with you all.
The salutation of Paul with my own hand.
Which is a sign in every epistle, so I write.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Good. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us. I think Paul's just saying the Lord of Jesus Christ be with you, or the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, because that's a transfer of information for what we already have. And so Paul reminds us that on the practical side of God's grace, that always resides with us in our daily life. And here was our point about grace from last week. You cannot live the Christian life in any meaningful way until you realize and thoroughly believe that you can do nothing to repay his grace. Do you believe that? Yeah, you just can't live. It's too hard to live the Christian life if you think you have to pay him back, right? So let me help you here. If you live in guilt and shame, and you feel a need to perform for God to appease his anger, or you find yourself judging everything around you so you get to the top of the pig pile, you are not living by grace. Those are sure signs that you're living by the law. And this is what Paul says about the law. For the sin shall not have dominion or rule over you, for you are not under law, but what? Under grace. We are under grace. And you have to understand grace enough to know you can't fix your sin. Now, that's really hard, isn't it? There's a lot of things that I'd like to go back and correct. How about you in our lives? And we can't do that. We have to accept and embrace his complete forgiveness. So the second leg, which I want to talk about today, is understanding grace in the sense of knowing who you are in Jesus Christ, and that we are a family together with him, and he's given us certain promises. Now, turn to Ephesians 1, and while you're doing that, I want to point out JR here. You want to give him a hand for his? Yeah, you were hiding from us. We are honoring you today, but you're out counting money. Okay, all right. Yeah, all right. Now, in your bulletin today, inside, you have two sheets, okay? And then JR is such a good server. He's going to run back and get some extras of these. I think we have actually a pad of them back there. I would like one in everybody's hand, okay? So if you have extras, hand them out. We put two in there. I don't know if we need to put two. How many need one? Okay, he'll be back with a few. Will you do me a favor and run those back there? Could you raise your hand over here, you who didn't win? He's going to bring you three, right? Four, okay. So while he's trying to find those that can't be found, we will just switch around till everybody has one. I'm just kidding. Okay. Anybody else need one? Okay, one. Oh, you don't have a bulletin? Okay. Okay. Oh, there they come. Okay. We have one over, or a couple over here. Who else needs one? Raise your hand. Okay. Stacy and Dave need one. They didn't get a bulletin, probably. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, good. All right. All right. So this morning, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2, 1 through 10, and we're going to take a grace journey together. Because this is what grace, first of all, grace for our salvation saves us from our sin and we're forgiven. And then Paul's going to explain that, but it goes a lot farther than that, okay? So I'm going to describe to you this morning how, or who you are. I'm going to describe you through Paul's words. And by the way, if you're listening on our website. Just email us at info@harvestbrighton.org, and we will email out that list to you while you listen to it. All right. So let's begin with verse 3. Okay, so verse 3, and on your list is going to be number 1. Blessed be, or well spoken of, or praise, or happy is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. When you were blessed, when you get blessed by something, does it make you happy? Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, whoa. I mean, I love it when I get blessed with something I never expected. It comes out of the blue. You feel the same way? It's like, wow, that makes me happy. And this is going to be a shocker, the next statement I'm going to say. This is going to be a shocker. So brace yourself. Hold on to your chair. God is happy. Right? Well, sometimes we go all the way around that, but we don't think about... Have you ever thought about God being happy? Yeah, he's happy. He's not upset. He's not thinking, oh, why did I make man? I mean, in Genesis 6, he said, I'm sorry that I made man because he's so evil continually. You know, but he loves us. And so he's happy and he's not mad. He's not resentful, but he loves you. If no one loves you, he loves you. And why wouldn't he? He created us. He put us on earth. Why wouldn't he love us? Okay, that's my sad logic. Okay, all right. So number 2 on your list, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, understand, when we talk about heaven, the Bible always has heaven as a plural, not a singular. And so they put heavenly places to say that, but it would be like heaven. So who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven in Christ. And so we've been given every spiritual blessing, every happiness, every benefit, everything he knows to give us, he has given to us. All right, now that sounds kind of good, doesn't it? Would you like to know what those are? Okay. Verse 4 and number 3, just as he chose us, and us is a plural, so it means group, okay? Just as he chose this group in him before the foundation of the world. Now, first of all, when he says that, I don't think he's talking about salvation. He's saying he chose us who are saved for all these benefits, okay? He chose us to get these blessings, and he goes down this list. And if you've received Christ as Savior, you are being described over the next several verses. So he chose the body of Christ to have these blessings, these benefits, and he gives them to us we, as we give ourselves to him. Okay, so I want to liken this to last week. Now, a lot of you know last week for my anniversary. Could you flip to the next slide? Last week, I went to Seattle. In fact, I went to Seattle, flew back, did a funeral, went back to Seattle, and then flew back at the end of the week. Is the thing stuck or something? There we go. Okay. All right. There I am on the airplane. Somebody took a picture of my ear. Okay. No, that's not me. Okay. So here's the thing, and I want to explain what I think Paul's saying. I bought a ticket, and I went to B20. Gate B20, that's the one that goes to Seattle when you're flying to Seattle. So I went to B20, and I showed him my documentation, and I walked down the sky gate, and I was seated on the plane. They had a specific seat for me, okay? And understand with me that the plane had a prearranged destination, right? Our predestination is eternal life in heaven, but on this plane, at gate B20, we had a prearranged destination long before I bought the ticket. And so when I bought that ticket, it's going to Seattle. It's not going to go to Tacoma. It's not going to Fresno. Not going to San Diego. It's going to Seattle. That's the arrangement, okay? And it has these wonderful blessings when you sit down on the plane. For instance, I got this micro pack of pretzels. Woohoo! Okay? And not only that, I got a third of a can of Coke, because I was kind of tired, okay? and I got a plug-in for my earbuds and a USB, and I could listen to an audiobook the whole time as I flew from Denver to Seattle. All the blessings going to Seattle were on that flight. And then when it arrived, we got off, and Debbie met me, and off we went up to Anacortes, Washington, okay? In the same way, when we accept Christ, we are bound for eternity. We're automatically seated in the heavenlies, you're going to find out in chapter 2. It isn't just that we're seated in Christ, we're seated with him in heaven right now. Right? And I'll explain that because it's a little schizophrenic sounding, okay? All right, and we are in the body of Christ, and we have all these benefits that come to us that we never asked for. We had no control over, and yet God gives it to us. And so we're going to arrive at our destination, right? All of us that put our faith and trust in Christ are going to arrive at our destination, and it's a whole lot better than United Airlines. Agreed? Okay. All right. Verse 4, number 3 on your list. And don't be afraid to mark on that list, okay, because you're going to hang that on your refrigerator and you're going to look at it every day or on your dashboard, wherever you want to do, but you have that, okay? Verse 4, just as he chose or selected us as a group of people in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be given these things, okay? Number 4 on your list, that we should be holy. And it doesn't mean we might be holy. That's not what it says. When we say we should be at Tom's house right now, that's a little dubious, okay? This should say we are holy. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. He's made us holy. I don't care what you're doing in your life. Well, I do care, but you know what I'm saying. You are holy. You are separated to God. You are committed to God. It even means you possess divine qualities. Don't we have divine qualities? Yeah, we have the Holy Spirit in us. He's teaching us all the time how to live that Christian life. The number 5 on your list, and without blame, are blameless. We are no longer charged for our sin. We are acquitted. It's like a courtroom, and they say you are declared innocent. Man, now that's grace. And so he says, and without blame before him, and then in love, I think the in love actually should go to the next verse, number 6, verse 5, number 6 on your list. In love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself. We're now in God's family by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He willed that we would be in his family. Now, here's the definition of adoption. An act of leaving one's natural family and entering into the privileges and responsibilities of another. Now, what's the first thing we think about when we think adoption? Okay, we come in as a baby, right? No, that's not what this means at all. If you even look it up on the internet, you'll see that. It means that this is an adoption that happens where an adult adopts another adult, maybe younger than him, that has a fairly large inheritance, a wealthy man, but he doesn't have any wise kids, and they don't know how to do them. So he adopts the man into the family. That man takes his name, okay? He takes his name. And then he manages the inheritance as the guy gets older and finally passes. And so when he takes his name, and I read that the first time, I realized I don't like it when people call me Steve Blackwell, okay? Because I'm Steve Almighty. All right? Well, what's God's last name? God Almighty, right? Okay? And so I want you to put your name in there, and I want you to state your first name and then put the Almighty on there. Ready? Go. Yeah. Doesn't that kind of feel good in a way? I mean, we know that's not his last name, but it's as good as we're going to get, right? You are his son or his daughter. All right, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. He's done all this by his grace. Number 7 on your list. We're still in 6, verse 6. By which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now, I really need you to listen to this because this is the thing that really, really cranked down on my heart when I first read this stuff. I've told this story before how when I became a Christian, I went to my pastor up in Seattle and I said, okay, now that I'm a Christian, what am I supposed to do? He says, you're supposed to go home and memorize Ephesians 1, chapter 2, 1 through 10, and you're supposed to come back in 3 weeks and quote it to me. And I thought, whoa, okay. So I went home and memorized this, and when I got to this verse, it slayed me. Absolutely slayed me. Listen to this. By which he has made us acceptable. Acceptable in the beloved. In the loved one, Christ. He graced us out. He kindnessed us out in Christ. We are graced out. You and I are accepted just as we are. Not what we should be, but what we are. Right now, right here, all your sin, all your goodness, whatever it may be, you are acceptable to God. Now that's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. Number 8 on your list and number 7 in the verse. In him we have redemption through his blood. Redemption is talking about buying back our bodies from sin, okay, which he will do at the rapture it'll be at the rapture when he changes those bodies from this fleshly body into a spiritual body. Now, what does redemption mean? And, you know, as I talk about this, if you've been in my theology classes, you know every word I'm going to say next, okay? And it's a good reminder, isn't it? Because I'm looking at some of the guys going, yeah, you know, we've heard this before. Okay, but when I was young, we had what was called S&H green stamps. Anybody remember those? Okay, oh, we have quite a few, okay. I didn't see any young people raise their hand, okay. All right, and when you went to the store, they had these different ways of metering those things out, and for how much you bought in the store, you got so many S&H green stamps. And so my mom would go shopping, and I'd usually go shopping with her, the kids, and that kind of thing. She'd bring it home, and it was my job to lick those stamps and put them in the book. You know, you too? Okay, yeah. And it was awful because she would kind of wait till there's a big stack of them. Then I'm like, you know, I never thought about taking a sponge. I saw somebody do that one time. And I thought, oh, well, I wish somebody had told me that. I probably have cancer now because of that, you know. But anyhow, I licked those in, and we did it, and I'd say, Mom, you know, why do we have to do that? And, you know, all the things that you say, and we had these pile of books. And finally he said, you know, because you licked the books, you and I are going to the Redemption Center. So we went down between 1st and 2nd Avenue in Seattle in this back alley with these, and right above it, it said, it had a little sign like that, says Redemption Center, and we went in. And we went up to the counter. There's like a waiting room and a counter. And so the guy says, what are you going to redeem? And my mom says, I want this silver set of forks, knives, and spoons. And so he said, okay, how many books do you have? And we put the books up there. So she got a six-place setting. In fact, here's these knife, fork, and spoon. I ate on these the rest of my life. And so we gave him the books. He gave us the silver. We took it back home. After my mom passed, we went out to her house and I grabbed a set. And I thought, I'm going to keep these because I licked a lot of books for those things. Okay. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. Because of his blood, we are going to be redeemed, body, soul, and spirit. And we're going to be with him forever in the heavenlies. Number 9 on your thing, the forgiveness of sins according to riches is great. You know, we're almost kind of numb when we hear forgiveness, isn't it? Until we have a hard time forgiving somebody, and then we think about it quite a bit, and then it goes away. Listen, he has totally, totally forgiven our sins. I've met so many people that says, I know that he forgives everybody else's sin, but I have a sin in my past. I don't think he can forgive. I'm sorry. He already forgave it. You have no sin like that in your past. As ugly as your past may be, or as pretty as your past may be, I don't know. You're forgiven. He's dismissed the resentment. He's waved off the sins. He's not holding a grudge. He's happy with this. And then we get to verse 8, and it's number 10 on your list. And he's talking about grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Prudence means the ability to understand well. So what he's done is he's made grace abound towards us, and we can understand it. We have the ability to read in his word and understand his grace. Number 11 on your list, and number 9 is a verse. Having made known to us the mystery or the secret of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. So he has the secret of his will. He is now explaining this secret, and it is all these blessings that he's given to us. And he purposed in himself. By grace, he was going to bring us there because we could come no other way. It's only through that door of grace. Then we get to verse 10, which is 12 on your list, that in the dispensation or the administration of the fullness of times, meaning his last administration before we enter into eternity, he might gather together in one all things, and in the original is the all, I think it's the all of the body of Christ, in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Now, what a day that will be. What a day. God never thought about having two or three or four different peoples. We're all going to be together with Christ for eternity. In fact, I was just reading not too long ago in Revelation, it says where there will be no need of a sun because he'll be the light. It's pretty incredible when you think of his light going through rooms and going through buildings and that kind of thing. What a day that will be. Number 13 on your list, number 11 on the verses, in him also we obtained an inheritance. It really means we've been divinely intervened, being predestinated. And he's making us remember back to verse 4, a decision made beforehand according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And I love this in the original language because it's the will of his will. And it's the wish will and then the immovable will. And so what he's saying here, he says, according to the purpose of him who works all things, all these things, according to the wish, his wish or his desire of his will that is not going to be interfered with. How cool. Number 14 on your list is verse 12. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In other words, throughout eternity, you and I are going to be trophies of his grace. He's always going to be able to point to us and say, there's my grace right there. To his angels or whoever. Then we get to verse 13. It's a tremendous verse. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, number 15 on your list, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of what? Promise. Who is what? The guarantee? The down payment of our inheritance? Oh my gosh. I want you to think about this. Back in Daniel, with King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel is number 2 in the kingdom. He is so wise, and he's done Nebuchadnezzar so well. Nebuchadnezzar came around to Daniel's God, and so one day his guys, all the other leaders who hate Daniel, right? You always hate the guy, the boss, your boss, right? Okay. And so they all do not like Daniel. And so they made this proposition to Nebuchadnezzar, said, Nebuchadnezzar, because you're so great, I want to read this, that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, who are they after? Daniel. They want to get rid of him. It means they can go up and be promoted, okay? So they know that Daniel prays three times a day, in the morning, at noon, and in the evening, and he faces Jerusalem, and so they all gather around his window, you know, facing Jerusalem. They see him praying, they go back to the king and said, "Oh, king, Daniel has not done what the law does." Now, here's the thing. When a king seals, in the Old Testament and was in even in the New Testament, when a king sealed a law, it could not be broken, even by him. There's no way to retrieve that. And so he had this thing, and the king went through, they looked all night long trying to figure out a way to get Daniel out of this, couldn't. And so the king says to Daniel, "You know, I know your God will preserve you." Now that's faith, isn't it? And so they put him into the lion's den. And the next morning, the king comes out and says, "Oh, Daniel, has your God saved you?" And he says, "Oh, king, live forever." So they pull him out, and he took all those people and threw them in. Said that none of them touched the ground because those lions were so hungry. Okay? Now, the law didn't say throw him in the lion's den until he was dead. Okay? It didn't say that. So they fulfilled the law. They didn't break that law. They couldn't break the law, but he was that because it was irreversible. One other in Queen Esther. If you read the book of Esther, Esther becomes queen. There's a bad guy in Esther's story called Haman. He hates the Jews. He's an Agagite, and they were dead enemies with Israel for hundreds and thousands of years before that. And so Haman goes to the king and says, "Listen, all the Jews are going to rise up and kill you and all of your army. And they're planning on doing this." So he said, "Okay." He says, "You yourselves," because he must have had an entourage, "write a decree discerning the Jews as you please in the name, the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring." So they plan on the 14th of Adar that they're going to kill all the Jews. Okay, well then Queen Esther lets him know that he was lying and tricking him. And so the king doesn't know what to do. And finally, the uncle of Queen Esther, Mordecai, he gives Mordecai the ability to write a law and do it with signet. And that is that they could pick up arms and fight back. So in the end, hardly any Jews got killed, and tons of Babylonians got killed who were trying to kill off the Jews. And here's what he says when I read this. "For you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke." Okay? So what's ever written in your Bible about the seal of the Holy Spirit in your life, no one can revoke. Do you hear me this morning? It cannot be revoked. When God says he sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee, I don't know how many more words he can use for us to feel that sense of, I'm there. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. Number 16 on your list, verse 14. "Who is the guarantee, the down payment of our inheritance," number 17, "until the redemption of the purchased possession, which is our body, to the praise of his glory." Now, I want to jump to 15. "Therefore, I also, after I heard the word of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer." And here's what he prays in 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you," and here's number 18, "the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the spiritual knowledge." It's a special knowledge that we as Christians have. Of him. Now, he's already told us we have that earlier in the passage. And so he's praying for it to come on, okay? Number 19 on your list, and number 18, verse 18, and this is really, really a neat blessing, okay? "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling," Christ's calling. What is his hope? What's the hope of his calling? Well, it tells us in the next phrase. "What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints?" Now listen to me. We have inheritance, which is heaven in him, right? What's his inheritance? I want you to say it together. Us. Okay? Here's what I want to tell you. He doesn't need gold. He doesn't need silver. He doesn't need a new throne. He doesn't need a new chariot. Right? He needs us. He can't be a king without a kingdom. And we can't be a kingdom without a king. So I think we could say this safely. He wants us as bad as we want him. He honors us as much as we honor him. We just see it through cloudy eyes because we get screwed up by this earth. But we are his treasure. Isn't that what inheritance is about? We're his treasure. Jump down to chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of obedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even or just as the others. Now, what I didn't do is go over 21, which is, and you he made alive. Now, actually, that isn't in the passage. It's on the one we're going to read here. Verse 4. And this gives us 22. Okay? But God, who is rich in what? Mercy. Because of his what? Great love with which he loved us. It isn't just a love. It's a great love with which he loved us. Even when we are dead in trespasses, made us alive together. There it is. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Then number 23 in verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, so you are now sitting in heaven with Christ. Or are you?
Yes.
We're here, but we're there. But we're here, but we're there. But we're here, but we're there. Colossians says we've been hidden in him. He's hiding us till he comes back. We're with him while we're here. Doesn't that put a different slant on your Christian life? When I finally came to grips with that, because I thought, well, that's almost the definition of schizophrenia. Two people, right? Two personalities. One's in heaven and one's on earth. Don't you kind of feel that way in your Christian life, my friend? When you start to sin, what happens? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Right? Yeah, but I want to do it. Don't do it. Oh, but I want to do it, but don't do it. You know that struggle, don't you? Okay. 24 on your list, number 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. He will always demonstrate his grace and kindness towards us throughout eternity. Gosh, can you get any better promises, blessings than these? You know, I look at it and I think, man, you cannot build a good self-esteem, because when you build a good self-esteem, all it does is make you self-centric, right? But what about a God esteem? If we believe what God says about us, now that creates a very healthy esteem. Number 25, verse 8. And many of you are very familiar with these verses. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, it'd be almost like, what if I roll up to your house, men? I'll talk to you men for a second. I roll up to your house, and I park my little tiny Harley Davidson on your driveway, and I say, hey, buddy, the Lord told me to give this to you. What would you think? If you don't ride a bike, you'd probably start riding one, right? You think, wow. And then I say, oh, but wait a minute, here's the payment book. Now, how much of a gift is that? No, it's a pawn off, right? What did Paul say? Therefore, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a free gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall. You can't work for this, my friend. It's by grace, and grace alone. And so we get to 26 and 27 in 10, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, we are his craftsmanship. We're a one-of-a-kind model that he's put together to do what he wants us to do for him. Not out of necessity, but because we love him so. Like he says in 2 Corinthians, the love of Christ restrains us. Man, I love those words. Constrains us. For we are his craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. And so I see a lot of Christians stalling out and saying, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. So you don't do anything. Just come and go, come and go. And I feel bad for you. Because there is nothing like serving God. We've been built to serve. He created to serve. We are his craftsmanship to serve. Which he says for 27, which God prepared beforehand that we should sit on them. I just wanted to see if you're awake. Okay. But we should walk in them. I'm telling you, my friend, I'm not saying that as a preacher so we can have more people running around the church. I'm saying this because God built you to do. Not, he wants you to be a Christian, and he wants you to do a Christian. Not because you're supposed to do it, but because of the love of Christ. That we can witness to people, we can train them, we can do whatever we need. I love it when I see somebody helping with the dishes and that kind of thing, because that's just as important as standing up here. Right? Whatever we can do, we do because the love of Christ constrains us. My friends, there is 27 blessings that God gave us in Ephesians 1 and 2, 1 through 10, that you can look at every day when you get down, when you get discouraged, when you think I'm not worth anything, or whatever it is that you feel, look at the list and begin to go through the list, and man, by all means, look at the scripture and look what it means. But it's listed there, and go over that list, over that list, over that list till you believe. Because I could say this right now. Do you believe what God said? Yes. Yeah. You don't. I'm going to tell you why you don't. Because it hasn't sunk in yet. It hasn't sunk in each one of those blessings. So you know all 27 blessings out of there. Now, there's a lot more in the rest of the scripture. But right here, he gives us 27 of them that I look at and I think, oh. And there are times when I come to it and I think, man, I just didn't realize the depth of that promise, that blessing. You ever feel that way? I think I even talked about it last week. And so I know you do. I'm playing with you a little bit. I know you do believe it. But do you experientially believe it? Is it at work in your life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we could come this morning and look at these 27 blessings that you've poured out on us by your amazing grace. And as a result of that, we get to live a Christian life. And Lord, we stumble, and you know, because you said even the wise man stumbles seven times and gets up in the Proverbs. And I look at that, and you're pretty used to us falling down. And I think the whole goal is you want us to stand up and brush off and get going again. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us to be when it says that we're blameless and we're holy, help us to live that out in our life, to be holy and blameless in our lifestyle as much as possible, as much as we can, Lord, because we love you and you love us. And we're seated in the heavenlies with you, and we are your inheritance. And you are ours. And so, Lord, I just pray that today you be blessed by us. My heads are bowed. You may have come this morning, and maybe you don't have a relationship with God. Let me talk to you for a second. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What grace. Romans 10:9 tells us how we can have it. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, this morning, if you have never asked Christ into your life, I'm going to pray a little prayer, and you can pray that prayer along with me. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said, and because of it, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. My heads are still bowed if you prayed that prayer. We'd love to pray for you, give you a Bible if you need one. If you'd like to come up and talk after the service is over, we'd love to sit down and explain things a little more. But if you made that decision, I'm going to ask something of you. And that is, will you raise your hand and put it back down and let us know you made that decision. Let God know you were serious about that decision. And then we're going to pray for you. Anybody this morning? Anybody? Father, I pray that for all of us, we already know you. We're here to worship you. And we thank you for that. May you be blessed this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, because of the lateness of the hour, we're just going to dismiss right now. Thank you for coming. Love it. We'll see you next Sunday.